We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, it's funny, man. This is the first Friday I've been in studio with you, I believe, in like 15 weeks.
I've gotten spoiled. It's been 5 full days of Fox.
Full Fox.
Full Fox. The full foxing.
You got the full Fox.
It's what has happened this week.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
What do you think?
Not complaining.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, we've got Maction on a December Friday. I'm obviously watching, you know, got to watch the Zips and Buffalo Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Browns, Texans this weekend. We've got championship weekend in college football.
Cavs magic tonight. Bull magic. What?
Yes.
I think everybody, if I was an NBA player, if all of a sudden at 37 I grew half a foot and became athletic and lost 100 pounds and gained skill and, you know, all that stuff. If all that stuff happened, I'd no longer be Nick Wilson.
I'd be president.
I'd be either Nick or Wilson. Bull Bull has started something.
And here. Also president.
I bet I'd be a good NBA player first.
Okay.
What would you choose? Being like
216-578-0092. What would you rather be, a great NBA player or the president?
NBA player.
Yes, 100%.
Lot of money, lot of other things.
Lot less stress.
Lot less work. Well, actually, that's not true, but you get paid more than you do as president. So we got John Vicari here. He's imitating the swolest producer in the land. We've got Michael Bohm. He's imitating Dave
Bomer.
Spano. So we got a lot to get into. By the way, Vicari, as I just about called him, Vicari's got the Pulse coming up at 3:40. And we've got Jason Pinkston at 3, Austin Carr at 4, and Daryl Ryder at 6. I'm a little shook, though, Dusty. A little shook.
You're shook by what?
I'm shook by people having faith in the Browns and no faith in the Texans.
Okay. So this is a bit of a turn for you, because mm-hmm. I feel like we've been talking about this Texans game and this Texans team for a while now,
mm-hmm.
and basically talking about them like they're just, you know, a complete dumpster fire.
And they are.
Right. They're 1-9.
Yep.
And 1.
Yep.
Somehow. They got the tie. But they're 1-9-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not a good football team.
Not at all.
And I here's what I think. So I feel like yesterday at the end of the show, I convinced you when we were talking about the spread,
mm-hmm.
when we were doing the FanDuel 5,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about the Texans game and how the Browns are favored by 7 points. And I'm mm-hmm. like, man, that just seems like not enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like last night you went home, you slept on it, you woke up, you got a good walk in, you're out on your peaceful walk, you're thinking about things. And I think in the back of your head, you think, man, Dustin made a good point last night.
Did you think, so you think you incepted me?
I do.
Okay. I've had...
Whether consciously or subconsciously, I think I incepted you.
Well, I don't want to dismiss that because it could have happened. And I will say it did. It has been part... It was a big part of my reevaluation of this game. I am in no way afraid of the Houston Texans. I think there are some matchup things we can get into here, but I'm in no way afraid of the Houston Texans. I am, after 11 weeks of Browns football, 12 weeks of an NFL season, I am pretty afraid of the Cleveland Browns. Like, every time we've expected them to zag, they have zigged. Every time it's like, this is where they zig, guys. See, we've been waiting for them to zig, and they've zagged. Does anybody trust the Cleveland Browns?
No.
Now, I want to make it clear. On the field, I trust the talent that is Deshaun Watson. And I'm hoping for some fireworks this weekend, right? But I've just learned, and part of this is Cleveland Browns. Part every time in my life, everybody has been across the board. We've had people on in Houston. Browns are going to win this one. It's going to be easy. We've had people in Cleveland. Browns are going to win this one easy. I went on my buddy's show on BetQL the other night, and Browns going to win this one easy. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, are they? Like, there are some things in this matchup that I think at least have stopped me short of saying, oh, they're just going to put boots to asses, and this is going to be the easiest Sunday you and I have had since the Bengals game. That's what it should be, because you and I talk often about what should and what will be, right? There's been a lot of should-bes for the Cleveland Browns that turned into never was, right? The one game that they shouldn't have rolled in was Monday Night Football against the Bengals,
yeah.
And it the easiest game of the year. So it's not that I think the Browns are going to lose, and I probably will. Spoiler alert, it's 6:40 when we talk about this game.
You're not going to lock it in now?
No, you've locked it in.
Oh, I've locked it in. This is an easy dub for the Browns.
No, you didn't just lock it in.
No,
you locked it in yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I know. I locked it in last night.
Like 30 minutes into the show, you locked it in.
Yesterday afternoon, excuse me.
Can I give you one thing? Can I give you one real thing?
Okay.
That is just kind of a kernel of doubt, because that's all these are, right? I don't have a great suspicion they're going to lose. I just have things that are causing me to doubt a game that, quite frankly, we should be able to just lock in and basically have some sort of, hey, it's worked out and they beat the living crap out of the Texans party on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest kernel of doubt?
Is what?
Actually, no. The second biggest kernel of doubt. I don't know how the team's going to respond with Deshaun taking over. I don't know if it's going to take a minute. People say, oh, Deshaun rust. The Browns have been a pretty well-oiled machine. That might be an oversimplification or an overstatement. The Browns have had a rhythm with Jacoby, right? And even though there have been weeks where they scored 10 points and the weeks where they scored 30 points, you kind of know what it looks like, and those players know what to expect on offense. It wouldn't surprise me if there was an accommodation period that, whether it's in the first quarter, in the first half, in the first three quarters, the first, you know, whatever, if maybe they scored on that first drive and they still had a little bit of butterflies in the tummy because, oh, we got a new quarterback, it's a new situation, and this is a new thing we're trying to figure out. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened early in this game or even halfway through this game.
Yeah, I just don't see it, because I trust that Stefanski's smart enough to go into this game with a game plan that's not going to put a ton on Deshaun Watson. They know that they can win this game easily if they stick to their plan.
You got to stick to your process. I've heard that.
And look, they can make this really difficult on themselves if they come out in this game and they start throwing all over the yard and Deshaun just doesn't feel comfortable, maybe has a couple of turnovers early in the game, and all of a sudden the Texans believe that they can play with the Cleveland Browns. I don't think it's going to happen, because I think they're going to take the ball out of Watson's hands just enough, especially early in the game. And look, if you get a 10-14-point lead, 17-point lead,
it should be over, yeah.
Then the game should be over, and then maybe you see some shots or see a little the offense open up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think until they get to that point, I don't think they're going to be crazy with Deshaun.
I think we've talked about everything other than this thing. It's rhythm. And can you catch a rhythm offensively? Because I think 3 weeks from now, I expect the Browns to know who they are with Deshaun. And when I say no, this is not the responsibility of Kevin Stefanski. It's not the responsibility of Deshaun. It's not the responsibility of Alex Van Pelt or Nick Chubb or that offensive line, because you can prepare as well as you try. You can have as good a plan going in, but this is a thing of, like, are you going to have the kind of rhythm when you've got one guy that hasn't played for 700 days and a bunch of guys who are beat up? I don't say run down, because I don't think that's the case, but beat up and have been through it and have been playing together for 11 games. And again, I want to make it clear, I don't know that that's going to make them lose the game, but I think it's an intriguing wild card in this scenario. I think so many people have convinced themselves about rust, 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 rust. We haven't just thought about, it's not about Deshaun and him, it's about Deshaun within the ecosystem of the offense. And you can do, you made a great point. You can do some game planning things that can maybe help you try and avoid that. But in the end, Deshaun might still look up and see that Tony Busby sweet. You know, that this offensive line is not blocked for a quarterback that is this athletic before. And you wonder if Deshaun starts to move in the pocket. Do they have the synapses firing on, we've had a statue behind us for 11 games. Now we got to be mindful, because I do think you have to block a little bit differently when that happens. That to me is where this all starts. It is, can we expect the offense to just hit the ground running consistently? Will they have a rhythm in this game? 216-578-0092.
Can I play a game with you real fast?
Yes.
And I'm going to only play this game because I really didn't know much about like the Texans defense.
Uh-huh.
How many players can you name on the Texans defense, you think, off the top of your head?
Could I just start? Is that what you want me to do?
Can you name more than three?
I got Roy Lopez. I got Jonathan Greenard. I've got, who's the old head? Jerry Hughes, Christian Kirksey, Derek Stingley. Ooh.
Way more than I would have got.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give me some names.
Okay. Jerry Hughes. Kurt Hinnish.
Okay.
Is a starting defensive tackle who's a college free agent.
And that's a real guy. We've seen.
No, I'm looking at the depth chart.
Okay.
I've got the Our Lads website up.
All right. I just want to make sure it wasn't like it wasn't when Bobby Knight created that European prospect and tricked the media. I want to make sure it wasn't
that. Malik Collins?
Oh, yeah, yeah. D-tackle. Okay, I'm Malik.
Rasheem Green, the other DN.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris is the other linebacker. Christian mm-hmm. Kirksey, you mentioned. Jake Hansen, they've got like two college free agents rookies starting on defense.
It shows.
Jake Hansen. Steve Nelson at corner.
Oh, good old Stevie Nelson.
Nelson. Yeah.
One of the Nelson twins.
Jonathan Owens.
O-Dog.
Derek Stingley Jr. And another Cleveland Brown, former Cleveland Brown, Tavier Thomas.
Oh,
Tavier.
Sure.
Either one.
I didn't, you know what?
He's starting.
I never bothered to get it right, like, because he never had the Hiel de Froholt moment. 216.
Dude, they have like a million Browns. They have MJ Stewart's on the Texans.
That's how you know this is a one win team. 216-578-0092. Did you or anybody in your family play for the 2019 Cleveland Browns? All right, you're going to be a Texan this year.
How many Texans can you name?
Are you guys expecting the Browns to get an easy win on Sunday? We'll explore that more. We've got Jason Pinkston at 3, Austin Carr at 4, Daryl Ryder at 6, but the revenge factor also must be examined next on 92.3 The Fan.
I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, I played with are seeing, come up from, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that, but, the most important thing is, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Deshaun Watson yesterday talking about football and getting his first start in Houston, getting his first start as a Cleveland Brown, making his first start in 700 days with his new team in his old team stadium. I want to react to that in just a second here, but find out what Boomer Esiason has to say about the return of Deshaun Watson and the playoff picture in the AFC on Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti on the free Odyssey app, or you can listen 7 to 8 p.m. tonight on 92.3 The Fan. But beware, I'm Mike Valenti.
He's a flamethrower.
People have been saying it. I have heard people say it.
Heard it.
You don't want to get burned. That's all I'm saying. I think there were some things in there that I do think Deshaun legitimately believes. I do think there's a big part of him that is excited for this game on Sunday. And I don't believe whatsoever he has any appreciation for the Houston Texans, as currently constructed. Because if he did, he wouldn't have not only asked for a trade, but then doubled down after the civil lawsuits came out and tripled down pretty much for a full year and 3 months until he got traded. But I do buy this idea that, I'm excited. I also think, though, I think I'm a well-known thinker.
We're on radio.
We're on radio.
You didn't have to acknowledge it.
No, because I heard myself say it. Yeah, it's okay. I also think, though, as much as you want to say, oh, yeah, I'm excited to be back there, and that can be true. That can be true. I also think he has no idea what's really going to be going through his heart, his mind, and just what kind of energies, what positive or negative, in this going into this game once you get out of the field.
No, that is true. You know, I would say this, you know, a lot of times throughout my career in athletics, whenever I got into the game, once I got into the actual mode of playing, the mechanism's clear. Like, you're not really thinking about other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had people ask me all the time, like, how did you play in front of like 100,000 people in the Horseshoe against Michigan? I'm like, you know, you don't really think about it.
Mm.
So I don't think he's going to be cognizant of the women or thinking about the situation. I think he's just going to go out there and play.
Okay.
You
so
know?
One of the things we did ask everybody was whether you're expecting an easy win for the Browns on Sunday. And Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I believe it was Fish Dang. I couldn't figure out his real name. I think it's D-Traff on Twitter saying that I'm trying to fan scare. Is that a thing?
No, I think what you're doing is you're doing what Jay Feely did. Because when we had Jay Feely on a couple days ago, I'm like, dude, this is an easy win. He goes, no, let me remind you, there are no easy wins in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think something is a sure thing, typically in gambling and sports, in
when
the
you get bit.
Yeah, you do, you know? So, like, I think the Browns should win this game handily. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't even be close,
mm-hmm.
but you never know.
And can I tell you, there's actually a football reason that has me, and not concerned, but intrigued that the Texans could make this a game. It's the run game. The one thing they do moderately well on offense.
Who, Pierce?
Yeah, Pierce. Well, not just Pierce. I mean, they've put Buckhead out there. I know they just got Eno Benjamin from Houston, I think, off waivers. I think he's a nice back. Like, when they've committed to running the ball.
You call him Buckhead?
No. Benjamin.
Burkhead.
Oh, Burkhead. Oh, yeah, I did call him
Buckhead.
Yeah. You know what? New name.
That's a good nickname.
Almost as good as Bear, which we're going to get to in just a second here. But I do think the Browns' defense is probably the only reason I doubt this game on the field. Because if Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton decide we're going to run Damian Pierce and we're just going to run until you stop us, that's something Tampa didn't do. That's something that Cincinnati didn't do. And those are your two victories over the last 5 weeks. So I think that could be not necessarily an equalizer, but that could be things. I mean, keep Deshaun Watson off the field by running the hell out of the ball. And if there's a team, listen, the Texans know they don't have any other way to win but running the ball.
Kevin tweets us. He goes, there's always this. The Texans have been outscored 50-0 in the first half the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
And Stingley is ruled out.
All right. 216-578-0092. This is more about my lack of trust about the Browns. It's my intrigue about how the offense, whether the offense can just fire on all cylinders with Deshaun week one here while everybody else has been playing with a different quarterback for 11 weeks. And more importantly, there's one football reason this could be competitive. And it is the one thing they do passably well is the thing you do not at all, which is defending the run, and they run the ball pretty well. So are you guys expecting the Browns to get an easy win on Sunday? I'm hoping they do. I'd like another Sunday, an easy Sunday.
No doubt.
Like that Bengals game. God, what an easy Monday night that was. So much fun.
And you know what's funny? It's that Bengals game, I thought the Bengals were going to win, like easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Browns just totally showed up and I'm like, okay, this is the team we thought we were going to see the entire season. Where have they been?
I think a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
The Bengals are going to win that one easily. Bear in Mogador. What's up, buddy? Hello, Bear. Bear, are you there? Bear, do you care?
No.
Bear, will you share your thoughts so debonair?
Bueller.
Hmm.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
It's very rare. It's very rare that a man that looks like me, a bear, gets to talk to an actual bear, and I'm a little disappointed.
Wonder if he likes cocaine.
I would not have asked him that, but all bears out there, 216-578-0092. No, don't answer that. So as we continue on the conversation about the Browns and this idea of an easy victory, I also, there's one other thing, and this isn't necessarily, I don't think the Texans haven't been playing hard. I actually think the Texans are kind of like the Browns, where they've just lost so many times, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and it attacks your energy and mindset. I know that a lot of the guys in that locker room, I think only like half the roster actually played with Deshaun. I do wonder if there's any revenge element from the Texans on the field. And again, I would tend to think not. But I think when I was thinking about this game, you know, we've focused a lot on, well, are the Texans fans going to show up and cause a scene? Dan Menigan, in on Baskin and Phelps today, at the end of his show, was like, I think people are sleeping on this. I think it's going to be a nasty environment. To which I would have said, Dusty, you got to have people there to have it be a nasty environment. But, like, my one, I'm genuinely curious, because the players won't say anything going into it.
Yeah.
But, like, I do wonder, how do the players in that locker room feel about Deshaun? Because a year and a half ago, going on almost 2 years ago, he said, I don't want to play here anymore. And I don't know. I don't know if there are any hard feelings. Hell, I don't know the exact amount of guys that actually played with him either 2 years ago.
Yeah, he mentioned some of the guys. Like, he even goes, well, you know, a lot of the guys there maybe were on the practice squad or on the IR or were injured. So I don't think there's a ton of guys still there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember this. I mean, when you change a coach, and I've been through it, you know, the roster turns over like 50 to 75%.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been there in a couple of years.
Man, it just feels like the Texans have done everything they could, unintentionally, of course, because they don't do anything intentionally well. Just feels like they've really just sucked all the energy out of this game by being 1-9-1 and by the overhaul in the roster. Like, I know I'm pretty certain Lovie Smith is getting canned at the end of this year. Kind of wonder,
how do you fire coaches after 1 year back-to-back years?
Can somebody get Jimmy Haslam on the phone? Oh, wait, did he do that? I don't remember. Jason, in a car phone or on a car phone. I don't think he can be in a car phone. What's up, buddy?
No,
welcome to
the
show.
On a car phone. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Look, I appreciate the question. Here's my answer to, is this going to be an easy game? We lost to the Falcons, okay? We also lost to the Jets. Of course, they ended up being a much better team than we realized, but we've walked into some games thinking they were going to be easy victories.
Almost lost to the Panthers, and they did fire Matt Rhule about 4 weeks later.
We got lucky against the Panthers. So my point is Deshaun Watson doesn't play defense, and Joe Woods is still our defensive coordinator. So all bets are off with any team in the NFL. It doesn't matter how many points we score. If we can't shut down a bad team, we're done.
Jason, can I ask you? But real quick, buddy.
Yeah.
When you say car phone, does that just mean you have an earpiece in, or do you have like a 1980s car phone? Because if so, you know, can you send a picture to us?
It's a long story, but I've been calling sports talk radio for about 30 years.
Humble
and guy. So that's always been my hand.
Have you called a sports talk radio show like on a bag phone?
I wish I still had one because those worked.
Oh,
they did, and they were very expensive.
Yeah, you know what?
They were.
You know what you need? You need a untraceable phone that you only use. Like one of the burner phones. Yeah, track phone just to talk to us. Because then we could be like, oh, it's Jason from an undisclosed area.
Undisclosed location. It'll be a red phone. We'll make it a red phone. How about that?
All right, buddy. We appreciate
it,
buddy. We do have some responses coming here on the old Twitter machine. Kevin saying, pressure is on the Browns' defense. Over the past 2 weeks, Texans Pierce is averaging less than 1 foot per carry before contact. 1 foot, not 1 yard. I would wonder, like, do you guys think, let's say the unthinkable happens, which it seems like to most people that the unthinkable is the Texans actually keep this close. Right? I don't think anybody's considered any of the things I've said. I didn't hear anybody selling a fight on this game. And I promise you, this is not fake radio propaganda BS. This is, I don't trust the Cleveland Browns defense. This is, there's a lot more unknowns. The known is Deshaun Watson's a tremendous talent. The known is the Browns offense with Jacoby Brissett is a top 10 offense. The unknown is what those two things look like and how they'll play out specifically on Sunday. And you know what? The one thing you're lucky is Jerry Hughes is like the one good defender here. And he's, Derek Stingley's pretty darn good too. But Jerry Hughes, probably his old bones probably are not going to be able to catch Deshaun Watson too many times. But like, I think people are sleeping. I think we think now that Deshaun is back. I think we've all talked ourselves into, well, Deshaun's back, everything, and not everything's fixed, but he'll make it all better. He's the miracle salve, and we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I feel like that's the take everyone has. That's the thought everybody has.
And every time we've done that this year, or honestly since before and after the playoff season, because that's the one year where that didn't happen, before and after the playoff season, every time in my Browns adult life, Browns fan adult life, every time we've all assumed something together about the Browns in a positive way, it's gone poorly. We did get some news today, by the way, Dusty. David Njoku is out for Sunday with a knee injury. You buying into Harrison Bryant's stock for this week?
I mean, what's funny is Harrison Bryant's still probably better than any tight end he's ever had in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're like a fantasy owner, I think you'd probably buy that stock this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited for Harrison, yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited to see what Deshaun can do with legitimate tight ends.
I'm just disappointed that we're not going to see Njoku.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that. The good news is you shouldn't need Njoku to beat the Texans. Bryant should be good enough to help you beat the Texans as Pharaoh Brown was with Deshaun in Houston, and you can make a case Farrell was Deshaun's best tight end.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be your second tight end on Sunday. So I am excited to see what Deshaun can do with those two tight ends. And listen, I made the case during the big drop? Was it Buffalo for Harrison where he had the two big oopsies? He had the one in the end zone where he just didn't get the second foot down and they had the just clear drop in the end zone.
Yeah.
I made a case for a while now that Harrison has become the new David Njoku. For so long, it was like
the tight end that just drops all the easy passes
and just doesn't deliver what you thought they were going to be. But I think in some ways, Njoku has vindicated. Mm-hmm. If you're just patient with him, the whole idea of, well, tight ends usually come into form, especially really athletic guys. They usually come into form second contract. David Njoku's emergence this year really has given me hope for Harrison Bryant. And I think having a more accurate quarterback, because that's what Deshaun is, I think that has given me a little bit more hope specifically for this weekend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.